Our next public hearing is change of zone 1611 B and M Property Development LLC.
It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR RPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southeast end of Route 58B, 1/2 mile north and east of Route 54, and to be located on 146.68 acres, more or less. For the benefit of the record and the commissioners, I passed down a copy of a booklet entitled Bayville Point, provided by the applicants on Monday for the commission review. It includes a presentation outline, a master plan, environmental reports, civil engineering reports, and highway entrance comments, a response to the plus comments, and proposed findings of fact. They are a part of the record. Today also received a copy of comments from the County Engineering Department. Makes reference to the site, the location, the applicants, and the proposed use. The system design assumption within the Femagon Sanitary Sewer District was 4 EDUs. Capacity is available for the project. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. The current system connection charge rate is $4,273 per EDU. The connection point for this project will be at manhole number 25-1. Conformity to the South Coast Area Planning Study Update 2005 will be required. In reference to other comments, it states all sewer construction will have to meet Sussex County Engineering Department standards and specifications and conform to the South Coast Area Planning Study Update of 2005. This will include the construction of a pump station on the site of the proposed project, as well as forced main and gravity sewer. Treatment capacity is available for the subdivision as proposed. There is insufficient capacity at pump station number 30 near the intersection of roads 381 and Route 54 for the build out of the Femagon Sanitary Sewer District. The engineering department recommends a limit of 60 equivalent dwelling units per year to allow time for the improvements to occur. There will be no limit after the improvements are complete. Sanitary sewer concept plan must be submitted and approved prior to any construction plan review. Please note system connection charges will be due prior to receiving any building permits. And that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. The direct booklet contains almost all of the comments received from Technical Advisory Committee. Review. Those agency comments were received by the deadline of July 26th of 06, and it should be a part of the booklet. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Chair recognizes Mr. Sergovic.
Thank you. For the record, my name is John Sergovic. I have a small law firm in Georgetown called Sergovic and Ellis, and we represent the applicant B&M Property Development LLC. The booklet pretty much in tab A outlines in text what the application is all about. And this is really not infill zoning, but it's really implementation zoning. Along this card of 54, the townhouse development started with the Mallard Lakes project, which is immediately to the front of this, and then we progressed on with the Bayville Shores project, and then I think it's called Bayville Landing. And this is really pretty much the last piece that completes the development pattern and package for the this area. And most of the development and the significant development has been done by the applicants in alternative names. It's basically B&M is J. Murray and Coleman Bunning, and we've acquired through contracts the Pomeroy piece, the Thompson piece, and a parcel owned by Pomeroy, Thompson, and that's it. At any rate, they're all under contract. It was, and it's a consolidation of three pieces of property. The plan is basically a conservative plan. It asks for 99 single-family units, 74 townhomes. We think that's a consistent blend with the existing developments. The most recent larger size development was Bayville Landing, and it has a mixed property use. We're following that rather than strict townhomes because of the effort to preserve the lands and meet the market. We've outlined how we comply with the land use plan in Section 3 and its subparts in the outline. And basically, the plan asks for planned unit or planned developments, planned communities in the environmentally sensitive district. We're doing that. The plan recognizes that the demand is in this area, and they ask the demand for housing is in this area, and they ask that we implement the demand with sensitive development. The basic proposal, there's an error in my booklet. The actual density for uplands is 3.86 units per acre under the 4 units per acre in the straight MR district. That takes out all 404 lands, so our density would be even less if you included the 404s. And the project's consistent with the zoning ordinance. Basically, we're not going to disturb any wetlands, with one exception. There's a small crossing to obtain one upland piece to a next upland piece, and that would, of course, require a permit. We also propose that the state wetlands towards the bay side of the project will be restricted with an environmental easement in favor of the homeowners association so that you could not even apply for a permit on those lands. And one other thing that I want to mention before I conclude the kind of overview is that DLDOT did not require a traffic impact study. Actually, DLDOT's analysis had more trips per day than this proposal is than this project proposes, and that's at the increased level when they were looking at 240 units, which is what went through the plus comments. But the application is down to 173 units, 99 single families, 74 townhomes. That kind of outlines the project, and we're next going to call Mr. Wigley, who's going to talk about the description of the plan, and then we'll ask Mr. Lene, who's here, about how he studied the wetlands, and then we'll turn it over to Mr. Fidel. We'll talk about engineering, and if you'd like to, you can also hear from Mr. Bunning, who's here.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, good evening. For the record, my name is Mike Wigley. I'm an architect and site designer for Davis Bowen and Friedel, and I've been working with Coleman Bunting and, of course, Jerry and Ed Lene on the design of this property. And I'll try not to be redundant if I can avoid it, but let me mention a couple things just to orient you. This is the Bayville Point property. It's about 147 acres. Route 54, if you can make that out, follows right along, going left to right on the page. North is straight up. This is Little Assawoman Bay over here. And then you can see some of the projects that Mr. Sergovic mentioned. The Treasure Beach project is over here, Mallard Lake, Bayview Landing, Bayville Shore, Swan Keys, Shady Park, and the Refuge. You can see it's a mix of, well, campground, multifamily, single family. Just about every housing product that that is out there is in this general location. And this particular project is consistent with that. Mr. Sergovic mentioned that we had the original submission had more units. We actually were considering condominium flat type buildings. Those have been eliminated, I think, primarily due to market conditions. What's being proposed now is a combination of townhouse style condominiums and single family. I think the microphones picked me up over here, do they not? Can I stand close to the board? This is the property for Bayville Point. The orientation is slightly different. North is down to the left of the page. The Mallard Lakes project is down in this area. The Treasure Beach facility is over here. You can see the amount of state wetlands that is indicated and the various housing products that are proposed, the townhouse style condominiums, of which there are 74 units here, and a combination of single family lots as well. And primarily what we tried to do from a land planning point of view is to create a roadway system that divides the property into phases, or neighborhoods, if you will, to try to create an opportunity to phase the project, to create separate neighborhoods, and to try to work the project in such a way as is allowed with an RPC. So if market conditions change, there might be an opportunity to change as time goes on and still stay within the density of the project. The single family lots that you see here, what we try to do with the roadway system is to utilize what is given to us with the natural features of the property. Most of what you see here is wooded 404 through here. Again, this is the state wetlands. There is an isolated area of state wetlands over here. What we're trying to do is work the roadway system to follow the natural contours, if you will, of what's given us with the wetlands. What that does is I think it creates some pretty interesting streetscapes. If you follow along the curve of a road, I think that gives you some variety and gives you some interest within the community. Each of the roads meet the county guidelines and fire marshal guidelines. You'll notice that there's a mix of public roads that serve the single family lots, and then there is a mix of private roadways and drives that have parking and driveways that serve the various multifamily units that you see here. The single family lots, they all exceed the minimum required in an RPC. The very smallest size is 75 feet by 125 feet, to give you some idea. And, each lot would be able to accommodate two parking spaces, off-site parking spaces. The multifamily, again, these are townhouse style condominiums, combination of 8 units per building, 6 units per building. Building that's got 2 units, another one with 4, and even 2 individuals, if you will. So there's a mix. What we're trying to do is break up the site, try to work it again through the contours. We also wanted to try to offer the maximum views across the wetlands of the bay and to try to improve the vistas from those particular units as well. And what's been provided on this project is 3 parking spaces per townhouse unit. What we're showing right now is garages for each of them, driveway parking, and also guest parking as well. The amenity package that we're proposing, I think it's pretty comprehensive. We have a central, what I'd call a major amenity area that's right here. You can see it's accessible from the main driveway. It includes a clubhouse, a swimming pool area. There's a small gazebo and pier, if you will, off into the stormwater management protection pond. We also have 2 secondary amenity areas. This one, you probably heard the term pocket park, but essentially that's what that is. It's You can see there's a trail system that links these together that would perhaps include a gazebo and park area. There's also over at this end of the project, there's a proposed basketball court, another gazebo area. You can see that we've got a trail system that goes through. There's a little bit over an mile and a half natural trail system. It ties into a picnic park and other uplands areas that are a bit isolated from the single family lots. We also have a sidewalk system that goes along every road. There's at least a sidewalk on one side of the road throughout the entire community. So we think we've got a very nice loop and mix of sidewalks and trails that interlink all the lots, all the units, with all the amenities that are available on site. To maybe reiterate some of the calculations and give you some idea of the land utilization, again, the entire site is about 146, almost 147 acres. The uplands that you see, this is exclusive of all wetlands, is about 44.8 acres. State wetlands, about 86 acres included there. The 404, these pockets here that might show up pretty well on the drawing that you have, about 15 acres there. If you use a calculation for RPC to determine the net site area, if you subtract out the road right-of-way, which is about 4.8 acres, the state wetlands, we end up with about 55.5 acres of net site area. When you consider our 173 units, that's about 3.11 units per acre. And if you consider just the uplands, as Mr. Sergovic mentioned, the 44 acres, we're at 3.86 units per acre on that density, well below the 4.86 per acre. Essentially, the project is built around limestone. We're really hoping to make it easy for neighbors to interact and communicate, and we think it's a pretty social, conducive type plan. Again, we have a series of amenities that string their way along. Failed to mention about the stormwater management ponds. I think that's just as much of an amenity, a passive recreation amenity, as an active one, and you can see that they're all linked together. So we think it's a positive community, and we look forward to your favorable consideration for it.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Ed Linnae, who's a renowned environmental scientist, is here. Basically, he's delineated the wetlands, and we're waiting for a wetland delineation. But if you have any questions, Mr. Linnae's here for any questions. I don't think he needs to do a formal presentation.
How does it feel to be renowned?
I don't know.
I think your counsel has pegged you there.
And with that said, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Fidel.
All right, sir.
Good evening. I'm Jerry Friedel, registered civil engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel. In an effort not to be redundant, I'll just go through a couple things very briefly. Did receive a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Office indicating that there was adequate sewer capacity. There were proposed limitations of 60 units per year until pumping station 30 was upgraded by the county. We have also obtained confirmation that Artesian Water Company has the franchise for this area and will provide water service for domestic and fire protection. We have other services, Delaware Electric Co-op and Verizon and Comcast will serve the other needed utilities. Stormwater management will be utilizing ponds and best management practices. We will have a fairly easy road with respect to nutrient reduction, being that we are converting agricultural land to development land, and we are leaving the perimeter forest areas and the wetlands intact, which will absorb additional nutrients. From the standpoint of roads and traffic, again, the documentation is provided in the booklet indicating that a traffic impact study was not necessary for the project. DelDOT will require the developer to upgrade Route 58B with two 11-foot lanes and shoulders available by the right-of-way. So there's not a hard and fast on the shoulders at this point, depending on the right-of-way and drainage requirements there. The only other thing I'd like to mention is enclosed in the booklet are the PLUS comments and the response to PLUS, and you will see that in most cases we received some pretty good kudos, primarily for density reduction from the original proposal. Of course, they wanted more, but we've accomplished quite a bit with a positive letter.
Yeah, they wanted more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
In the booklet, I've gone in text in detail as to how we comply with the comprehensive land use plan, but I think it's pretty straightforward and obvious. We have proposed a finding of fact at tab G, which really outlines the whole application, what it's all about, the limit of units, and that we will not be using any 404 wetlands on either any lots or on any sites for townhomes, with the one exception that there may be required to have a minor crossing. We've incorporated the PLUS comments that this is a strategy three level in the state policies, and our comments in the project succinctly fits into the level three investment policies. We have proposed 13 finding of fact, and we've proposed approximately 18 conditions, and I think they were fairly well thought out, that will have a pool and clubhouse installed within the by the Memorial Day following the 60th certificate of occupancy, that sidewalks along one side of the roads would be required, street lights will be installed, that a limit of 60 units per annum after approval will be cumulative. We will restrict the state wetlands to the northeast of the project. It's difficult to do all of them because there's a small area of isolated state wetlands, and we followed the other standard conditions that the commission has considered in other RPCs and or cluster developments. And if you have no questions, we'll close. The plan is an implementation of the zoning ordinance. It's an implementation of the comprehensive plan. It's one of the last areas along 54 that has the potential of waterfront development rights. The one piece that is not on the waterfront and subject to development, Mr. Thompson wants to retain that as a family piece, and that's about 10 acres. And the other property owner that we're under contract with is George Marvel. I saw that in my notes.
All right, so Mr. Sergovic, we thank you. Your booklet is, in fact, a part of the record, and we thank you for not reading it into the record, because Mr. Smith has a bongo lesson at 9 o'clock, and he'd like to make it. So, Mr. Smith, we'll start with you with any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few. Are there any tax ditches on this property?
Yeah. Mr. Lene, I need you. Unfortunately, I need you to come up, give us your name, and then give us your one-word answer.
Ed Lene from Environmental Resources, and I've investigated the ditches. I don't believe there's any tax ditches on this site.
Okay. Insofar as amenities, is there a desire to have a pier?
No, the only pier facility is in one of the wetlands ponds next to the major clubhouse. There's a gazebo pier just so you could walk out Again, we propose to restrict the land area. That would be to the northwest of the property. But state wetlands will restrict that, so you can't even apply for a permit for any kind of use under the State Wetlands Act. So there'll be no piers, no nothing. We will say nobody can apply.
Would that be in the restrictive covenants?
It will be in the restrictive covenant
association.
And it's in, it's one of our proposed finding or conditions on our conditions that we suggested to the commission.
Let me clarify that. My name's Coleman Bunting, Bunting Construction in Selbyville. Developer, I do want to point out that up in the very northeast part of the property, there is an existing little boat, bulkheaded boat thing that's not, does not have wetlands on it. It's been retained by the Pomeroy. It's been used for years as a ducking shanty kind of a thing. And that part would be used, but it's not contemplated that that's part of the amenities for the development. That's to be retained for the use of those. The Pomeroys are going to retain that.
Yeah,
that part of the
property. Well, that's part of their property.
Yeah, yeah. 12 acres.
That's not,
there's,
that's not the subject.
There are 12 acres. It's part of the application.
Okay.
But it's, and it's part of the new subdivision, but that 12 acres is going to be retained by the Pomeroys.
By one party. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, to clarify that, I'm sorry, I forgot that.
With that said, then the will the covenants or anything have a disclosure of hunting activities nearby?
I think once this parcel's developed, besides the Thompson piece, there will be no really available hunting sites. Again, there's there. If you look at the overview,
it's a duck shanty. This must be because that's my land.
Can you point us about the approximate Bayville line?
About the property line?
Yeah, the Bayville Shores.
Oh, Bayville Shores. Right.
Yeah.
It's right about here.
And again, although there's an expanse of wetlands there, there's no, all the lands are now connected to these developments, to my, except for the about 10 acre Thompson piece. But if you want restrictive notice in our restrictions, I'll be happy to add that these areas may be in the vicinity of areas that have traditionally been hunted. I have no problem with that, but I'd gladly add it. Just have, you know, if you want that as a condition, we'll do that.
One last question. The looking at a letter in your tab F, I believe it is dated the 10th of this month. seems to be a cover letter, I guess, from the Office of Constance Holland of Mr. Lank that mentions the reduction in the number of units and their question of how the land that was proposed for the additional units be used. Did that get covered in your presentation?
I touched on it briefly. There were originally condominium flats located, which included like four-story building over parking, or three-story building over parking, and there was more of a parking feel because there were more units in these buildings. They were like 16-unit buildings. So we eliminated the physical size of the building and more parking mass around them. So we did pick up a little bit of open space with that reduction. I'm not sure if that quite answers your question, but I could address there.
Sure. No other questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Gordy.
Can you go over again the upgrades you're going to do to Bayville Road? Because I know through experience it is difficult getting in on that road from on 54. And is anything going to be be done to the intersection there?
The intersection itself, we'll have to negotiate with DLDOT based on the right-of-way that exists in that area. What they have asked by the letter at this point is that the entire length of pavement surface for 58B be widened to 11-foot lanes plus shoulders where the right-of-way permits those shoulders. And then we will have meetings with DLDOT in the design of the intersection. The intersection itself over the past 15 to 20 years has actually improved with the demolition of the chicken houses that used to be there. And as you see, the road itself will have basically very little other traffic than Bayville Point coming out and utilizing the PAV. So it will be a negotiation with DLDOT as to how to improve the intersection.
Let me clarify that and add to that a little bit. When the refuge was done, we relieved the traffic on 58B considerably by taking Bayview Landing out. So now the new road that handles all of Bayville Shores and Bayville Landing all comes out this way. So, and Mallard Lakes, of course, has its own entrance on 54. So, and so really, we're going to be talking about Bayville Point and whatever Mr. Thompson does with his property, which John said he's indicated to us that he does not want to develop it. And, of course, Treasure Beach has no access to it because of the lagoon system. So, and as Jerry mentioned, the chicken houses are gone. And the chicken houses used to be out, if any of you are familiar with it, within 6 or 8 feet of the highway, so you couldn't even see around them. So the road's really not that bad there. Now when you come out, you've got, you do have some, let me find it here, I'm lost. Oh, I lived here my whole life. Find the intersection there. Where is it? Okay. 58B right there. So really there's pretty good sight distance right there. The road's fairly straight.
Okay.
I'm not laughing at you, Mr. Bunning. It's just whatever. Go ahead, Mr. Story. Excuse me.
So how much of the buildable site is wooded now? Is any of it wooded at all?
Where you see the wood line mm-hmm. indicated here, those are existing.
So they won't be disturbed?
There are some minor disturbances. We tried to work around them. There's a little bit right here. That line carries on right here, so there are some in here. And this line comes over through here. But other than that, we're trying to keep as much of it intact as we can.
Okay, fine. Okay. And is there any lot lines within the wetlands?
No.
There's not? Okay.
Just to expand upon that, the site plans do show encroachments into the lot line.
If you look at tab C, you're drawing CP14G. Looks to me like there's lots, wetlands within lots.
We do stand corrected on that. There, the string of lots right through here, property lines do extend into some wetlands areas. I think for the most part, most of those can be adjusted and still meet the minimum lot standards that were.
Yeah, I stand right here. I'm sorry.
But they can be adjusted, you feel?
I think most all of them can be. Still meet the minimum lot size that we're looking at.
Okay. And then one last question. Is there an adequate area near the entrance for a school bus stop if needed?
In this general area?
Yes.
Something in. I'm not sure how. Just
you
talk about like a 4x4 or 8x8.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know if the school bus will go in there. I don't know. Sometimes they won't go into the development.
I'm sure we can make some adjustments.
That's all the questions I have, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Just one question. We visited the site today, and if I was just looking at this plan and looking at how the entrance is drawn, the road kind of goes to a dead end. Does that road stay in? The current road just kind of goes and stops.
Currently, that road comes in and stops right about here.
So that would stay?
That would be removed, that portion of it.
Okay.
And we'll pick up the entrance right where the
only
stops.
The only way into that would swing it right in.
Right, and I understand the other side of that is Mallard Lakes. Right, and that they're all internal drives.
Right. Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Lang.
Would you show me that location of where the road dead ends now?
It's approximately right in here.
It just appears to be further than that.
Not sure if we have it.
That's good. I was just curious. It seems to be further because it's all paved. It's quite a distance from that curve. Mm-hmm. Is that the main entryway, the approximate location of the existing driveway?
Yes. Yeah, when Mallard Lakes was created, we bought that from Kirk Bexler way back when. And Mallard Lakes, it turned out when it was surveyed, Mallard Lakes owned half of that road and the Thompsons owned the other half of that road. So there's really no reason to extend it on down there once we create this subdivision. There's nowhere to go. So that road's going to disappear and stop where they're showing it on the site plan.
That's all I had.
Okay. Mr. Counts?
No additional questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions.
All right. Gentlemen, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1611 B&M Property Development LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone 1611? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us this evening and invite you to spend the rest of the night here if you prefer, or you may just wish to call the office in the morning.